check that. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. How's everybody? Good. Good to have Annie back from France. Good to have you back, girl. Hallelujah. We missed your smiling face and your red head out there. Pretty red hair. Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking about Christ's triumphant church. We're doing a series on that. And we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk a little bit about the authority that God's given the church, because we're going to be talking about the mission of the church in some of our lessons. But in order to accomplish our mission, we have to understand some things about authority and what God's given us. Let's turn over to Matthew 28, if you will, and read a very familiar portion of Scripture. Verse 18, Jesus came to them, his disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, I want to stop right there in a minute. We're going to read further. But I want to say, I had to stop while I was reading this today and thinking about this. You know, now you think about this, the implications of this. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Now, we're going to read some more there, so you can hold your place there if you want to. I want you to turn over to John 10, because I want to, something that really kind of jumped out at me. In John 10, verse 1, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the watchman opens the gate for him." And he goes on down there, look down in verse 7, he said, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate." Now, I want you to think about this in terms of what we just read. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." And then he says, "I am the gate." I think the King James says, "I'm the door. No man can come in any other way." I want you to think about this. Every other religion, philosophy, theosophy, ism, schism, spasm that you can name. Okay, now listen. No matter that it might have some elements of wisdom about it or natural truth about it, none of them have authority to save. Mm-hmm. This is what distinguishes Christianity from all the other. I don't care if it's Islam. I don't care if it's whatever it may. If it's Hinduism or whatever it may be. Any of them you can name. Any of the New Age stuff. Any of that stuff. You know, we live in a time where, you know, it's politically correct that we don't want to say that we don't dare speak against anybody's religion. I mean, you know, that's just not right. Well, here's the thing. What happens is, though, when we get intimidated that way, what we're saying, really saying is, well, maybe there is some authority with Hinduism. Maybe there is maybe there is another gate that people can go through. Come on. Listen, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Then he says, "I am the door." He said, anybody that tries to come in any other way is a thief and a robber. So all the founders of all these other movements, whoever they are, that, listen, Jesus said, when they stood up and said, "Okay, here's another way to God," Jesus said, "They're a thief and a robber." Come on. I know it's not popular, but we got to understand this. Because, see, if we don't, you know, because I've had people tell me, "Well, I just, you know, I think, you know, God's going to let those people in anyway." I said, well, then everything Jesus did was in vain. If he's just going to let them in anyway, why did he go to all that trouble? Why did Jesus have to come down and take on the form of a man? Why did he have to live a spotless life? Why did he have to give his life at Calvary? Why did he have to suffer the throes of hell? Why did he have to suffer all of that punishment and everything, the wrath of God and all that? Why did he have to, he's just going to let everybody in anyway? But what we got to understand is, this is why I'm talking about. We're talking about the purpose of the church. And I think too often we do not really understand that when Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me," that means there is none for anybody else. That means that Muhammad was not authorized by heaven. Hello? That means that Buddha was not authorized by heaven. Come on. Because if how could he be if all authority was given to Jesus? Because, you know what that word all means in the Greek, don't you? Y'all smart. Yeah, y'all smart. That's exactly right. That's deep, isn't it? But that's what it is. But we have to understand that. That makes our understanding, when we understand about authority in the church, then later on as we talk about our mission, that makes us to understand how important the church is in this present hour. We can't just sit back and say, well, you know, God's just going to wink at that and he's going to let them in. Well, if that's true, he's going to have a whole lot of explaining to a lot of people who died for the gospel down through the ages. Jesus gave his life. He said, I am the door. Then he goes over here, he said, all authorities. In other words, there's only one authorized doorway. Only one path, only one avenue, only one way. Somebody says, boy, that you Christians are sure narrow-minded. You're absolutely right. Thank you very much. It's the nicest compliment anybody's given me in a long time. This is exactly what I am. Didn't Jesus say, narrow is the way that leads to life? Broad is the way that leads where? You know how easy it is to have a wreck, don't you? If you're driving in your car, just take your hands off the wheel. Piece of cake. Anybody can wreck. Okay? But here's the thing. It takes a certain degree of concentration and purpose to keep it in your lane. And the same thing's true. And we need to understand this. So we're going to talk about authority here. Turn back over. But I wanted to emphasize that because that just kind of stood out at me today when I was looking at this. He says, all authority, back in Matthew 28, has been given to me on, and heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. When he said, therefore, in other words, what he was saying is, okay, what I'm doing is I'm sending you as my representatives. I have all authority. I'm quoting Jesus. Jesus has all authority. So he is telling us, he said, therefore, I am sending you as my representatives. That means he has delegated some of his authority to you and I. Now, you don't have it all, and I don't have it all, but we have some. He has it all. He delegates some to you and I. Amen? In other words, we could put it this way. You know, you used to see this a lot on stores and all. Don't see it so much anymore. An authorized dealer, you know. Might be John Deere, might have been, you know, a chainsaw or something. You know, they're selling a particular brand, and it says underneath there, authorized dealer. Well, that's what you and I are. We're authorized dealers of the gospel, authorized dealers of eternal life. Amen? That's what he's given you authority for. Now, listen to this. Apart from the church, no man can have or exercise spiritual authority. Because Jesus has got all authority, he's the head of the church. And how do you get any of that authority? How is that delegated to you? You have to what? Be a part of it, don't you? You have to be born again. You have to be a member of his body, his church. Isn't that right? It's the only way you get spiritual authority. A sinner don't have spiritual authority. Are you listening? If you don't believe that, read over in the book of Acts. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? Remember when they said, you know, they spoke to a person that was, you know, had demons in them, demon possessed, and said, we adjure you in the name of this Jesus that Paul preaches. You know what their result was? You know, that guy jumped on them, beat them all up, and it said they fled naked. Boy, you're talking about embarrassing. Why did it do that? Why did they come out for Paul, but they didn't come out for these guys? They weren't authorized. They had no authority. Why? They weren't born again yet. They weren't in the church. They were Jews. They were under an old covenant. They had an Abrahamic covenant. But I'm going to tell you what, we got a better covenant. Are you listening? We got a better covenant. And so here's the thing we have to understand. You cannot exercise spiritual authority. That's why it doesn't do any good to go through all those rituals that they had in the Old Testament. But why? None of that's authorized anymore. That's passed away. We're operating in a new authority. And that authority comes under the headship of Jesus Christ in the church and through the church. Amen? And we'll find this out, another principle of authority. These are things we have to learn in the church. That the only way you can exercise any authority is to be under authority. You know? Now, we all like to exercise authority, but it's another thing to learn to be under authority, isn't it? You know? And so Jesus, he's the head. He's got all authority. So the only way I'm going to be able to exercise any authority that he delegates is I've got to bring myself first under his authority, don't I? That's what we talk about, Jesus being Lord. See, he's Savior to a lot, but he's Lord to not as many. Come on. Can we say amen? I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just telling you the truth to help you. And see, here's the thing. Lordship has to do with authority. Amen. Savior has to do with me not going to hell. My sins being forgiven. But lordship has to do with obedience. Obedience has to do with being under authority, doesn't it? And so if we don't learn to come under authority, if we're not able to come under authority, then you know what? We can try to cast out devils. We can try to bind and loose. We can try to pray. We can try to exercise authorities in all the ways the scriptures teaches us. But you know what? We get very poor results. Sometimes we don't even get minimal results. And then people want to go off and say, yeah, I knew that authority stuff. They wasn't nothing to that. Well, it doesn't work for people who are rebellious. Ask Adam. Ask Lucifer. They worked in this principle. They were delegated authority by God, weren't they? Sure. You read about Lucifer. He had been given a certain amount of authority, a great deal of authority. And with that authority, a certain amount of ruling and reigning and responsibility. But as soon as he decided that he wasn't going no longer going to be under authority, guess what? He lost all of his. Isn't that what? Same thing happened to Adam and Eve, didn't it? In the garden. As soon as they decided, you know, that they knew better, they had a better way. They came out from under the covering of God, and what? They lost their position. They lost their authority. So God has given authority. He's delegated a part of that authority to us. Now, I want to share you something. Now, this is just strictly what I'm about to say here. This is my opinion. Okay, I like to always preface it when it's my opinion. But I believe this. You know, I believe, okay, that the church as a whole, the body of Christ as a whole, that we have the same degree of authority as the head does. Okay, are you listening to me? Mm-hmm. But as individuals, we only have a measure of that authority. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if God gave me all the authority, there wouldn't be any for you. Isn't that right? If I had it all. Isn't that right? Also, it would mean I wouldn't need you. And being a human being, we are easily puffed up in pride, aren't we? But see, together, that's why he said, we'll find out this, he talks about the power of agreement. The power of agreement is not just when you and I come together and say, okay, you know, I want a red bicycle, and you say, okay, I agree with you. That's been our understanding a lot of times of the power of agreement. The power of agreement has to be much deeper than that. The power of agreement is that we're both under the lordship of Jesus. The power of agreement is that we both have a heart for wanting the same thing. The power of agreement comes because our faith is connected.
That's right.
It's not just, you know, I want a chocolate bar and you agree with me or whatever it is. We've got to go much. See, this is the reason why a lot of times, see, why does God deal with, you know, and throughout the scriptures you read, Paul wrote to the churches, he dealt with strife, he dealt with unforgiveness, he dealt with all that. Why? Because there is no agreement when those things are present.
That's right.
We can talk all I want. We can pray till we fall over out of breath. But we're not going to see the power of that authority released because what? We're not in agreement. Our external words, we may say some prayers and we all agree with, but here's the thing, in our heart of hearts, we're not in agreement. I'm mad at you, you're mad at me, somebody's talking about somebody, and we're going to come in here and lift our hands and pretend. Listen, we're not fooling anybody but ourselves and maybe one or two other people, but we're not fooling God. And we're going to have to be able to lay aside all of that if we really want to exercise the authority
Amen.
Of the church.
Amen.
And listen, it's not going to come any other way. I don't care. You can let people tell you anything they want to tell you. That's up to you. But it's going to come through the church. Hello? Salvation's coming through the church, people. Salvation's coming through believers like you and I, the body of Christ. We're the ones. If we don't do it, you know, either God's going to have to just, you know, a generation's going to go to hell while God raises up another generation that will do it. But I'm telling you what, there's nobody else to do it. No use us looking around. You know, the government's not going to save people. Is it? No, sir. The media's not going to save. Hollywood's not going to save people. Wall Street's not going to save people. Hello? So, no use us looking around, is there? It's going to come through the church. And we need to understand that. One of the reasons, some reasons why God's given authority to the church is to demonstrate the defeat of sin and Satan and the victory of Jesus and his righteousness both now and the ages to come. Turn to Ephesians 3. We ought to be demonstrating what we preach. Thank you for your... Isn't that right? We say Jesus is the Savior, then bless God, there ought to be authority to, for him to be being, for people to be saved. We say Jesus is a healer, there ought to be authority released for people to be healed. If we say Jesus is deliverer, well, all these things, what? He's authorized us. He's given us authority. So I said, well, but you don't know how I feel. Well, let me ask you this, you know, go back to what I said. So suppose somebody was an authorized dealer, you know, with a certain kind of a washing machine, and they were authorized to repair that washing machine and everything. And you know, and they go back there one day, you've taken your washing machine in there, and he goes looking at that thing. He said, oh, I can't repair that thing today. I just don't feel like a repairman. Come on. What? See, that's the same. That's just as silly when we say, well, I just don't. It doesn't have any. Listen, exercising authority doesn't have one thing to do with how you feel. Amen. A policeman can be having the worst day of his life. He holds his hand up. Guess what? Traffic stops. He can be, he can be having a splitting migraine. He can just had a big knockdown drag out at home. I mean, he might have got there and his tire was flat on the car and, you know, and the bullets had rusted into the gun. But as soon as he holds his hand up, guess what? Because authority doesn't have anything to do. Same thing with you and I. Spiritual authority doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. Amen. Well, I don't feel so strong. Well, what's that got to do with it? He didn't say that he delegated his strength, although we could say that he has, but he said, I delegated authority to you. Isn't that right? You know, how many have been in a courtroom, had to go to court? You know, I have. I've seen all kind of judges. I've seen tall ones, short ones, men, women, some heavy, some slim. Did you know what? Their physical stature or weight or anything had absolutely nothing to do with their authority to adjudicate. It could be the tiniest, frailest looking little woman or man back there. Doesn't matter, man. They got that robe on, they come in. Mm-hmm. Hello. Authority. You know, I've been clothed with a robe. We've been given a name. We've been given authority. In Ephesians 3, verse 10, read the scripture there. Notice what he says here. His intent, God's intent, was that now, everybody say now. Now. When is now? Now? Now, through the church, everybody say through the church. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, notice this. He said that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is going to be revealed to all these principalities and powers, these rulers of darkness. Remember, Paul talked about them in Ephesians 6. He goes on and talks about them. It says that to all those ruling powers, those demonic spirits, he said, through the church, now, not in the future, now, the manifold wisdom and purpose of God is to be revealed. He didn't say it was going to be through a government. He didn't say it was going to be through Israel. He didn't say it was going to be through the media. He said it was going to be through the church. So there's no use us looking around. That means you and me, by the way. That's us. We're a part of it. We're not the whole thing, but we're a part of it. And we have to understand this. And if we don't recognize and use the authority, recognize the authority and use it, then you know what? It's not going to get done. You know, it's like a policeman sitting in his patrol car and he sees a crime taking place there, but he doesn't do anything. He just sits in the car. Come on.
Yeah.
That's where the, too many times, that's where the church is. We don't act. We see things going on, but we don't act. We don't use our authority. And I've just got to come to the conclusion is that we really don't either don't understand that we have it or we don't know that how to use it. But nevertheless, we're going to give an account to God for the authority he delegated to us. How many of you know that? Am I boring y'all? Okay. Just checking. Turn over to Matthew 18. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is going to be made known to who? To those principalities and powers. In other words, we are going to enforce the covenant that Jesus instituted. We're the enforcers of that salvation. We're the enforcers of it. Because those principalities and powers, they want to cloud the truth. They want to hide the truth. They want to disguise the truth. They want to do anything. They want to promote the lie. And listen, the only way a lie will ever be exposed is when the truth comes forth. As soon as truth comes forth, lies immediately loses its power. It has no more power. But as long as we allow the lies to go forth, and we don't enforce the truth of this gospel, the truth, and we do it unashamedly, we do it boldly, we do it without apology, we do it, you know, like they said, if it rubs a cat the wrong way, we still do it. Come on. Because listen, we live in an age where everybody, it affects you. Everybody wants to be, you know, oh, well, let's don't say anything about anybody, especially not about anybody's religion. Yeah. Lordy. Pastor, if you want to fight. Well, I'm not saying look for a fight. And you know what? Here's the thing. All you got to do is present the truth. All you got to do is present the truth. Because when the truth comes out, the lie is exposed, isn't it? Amen. Present the truth. In Matthew 18, let me get over there, 18. I know we could probably all quote this, but I want us to look at something here and read this. Matthew 18:18. He said, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I want to stop there a minute. Notice, he said, whatever you bind and whatever you loose. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose. Now, the only way we can do that is through spiritual authority. Authority that's delegated to me. Amen? Doesn't matter how I feel. You know? You know how much faith a policeman has to have to use his authority? Just enough to go. See, we think, oh, man, if I'm going to bind some devil, I got to wind it up. No, you got to use your authority. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. It's just your authority. You've been given it. Doesn't matter how you feel. You feel good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. Just use your authority.
Amen.
Once you understand, it's been delegated to you. Amen? Listen, you know you got all you need because Jesus got it all. And he's over the whole shooting match. You know what I mean? He's over the whole deal. And listen, this is God's plan. Are you listening to me? Listen, the gospel is God's plan. This book reveals God like no other book does. This book reveals the kingdom of God, the purpose of God, the power of God, the love of God, all the things that are about God and his kingdom and salvation and deliverance for man. There's only one book that has it, and that's this book called the Bible. The Koran don't have it. Are you listening? You just don't. So, oh, you preaching it? Yeah, listen, I'm preaching for the truth. I'm preaching for the truth. And we got to make sure that we don't, you know, it's like I said, you know, it's some people, it's kind of like this, you know, I got this nice, beautiful bottle of water, spring water, it says, you know, suppose about just a little bit of it had been poured out and I put just a little bit of that from the commode in there, shook it up good. It's just a little. I mean, you know, if you looked at it, you could hardly even tell. It's just a little. See, you remember that illustration? You know, that's what the Bible calls when something is adulterated. They even use it in the natural. It's adulterated. Something's been added to it that takes away from the purity of it. Same thing's true with the gospel. If we're not careful, we can let some other things be added to it. Or we can just say, well, you know, yeah, I guess the Hindus have got their way and the Christians have got their way and this group's got their way. And, you know, Jesus said there's only one way. And here's the thing about it. It's a slippery slope. Once you compromise in one area like that, next thing you know, you're going to start thinking about, well, now I wonder if this, you know, if this gospel really is true. I wonder if God really does answer prayer. I wonder if Jesus really is the only way. I wonder. And you go down a slippery path. He says, whatever you bind or whatever you loose. That word loose there means to melt, to destroy, and to put off. Of course, we know what bind means. We got to bind. It means to, you know, what? To tie something up, doesn't it? To paralyze it. And he says that we, in the church, have been given that authority. Now, how many of you know the Bible teaches us that there is a double kingdom, a double political system in every country, even here in the United States, that behind our government, okay, there is principalities and powers that are endeavoring to influence and control the minds and hearts of men that are in places of authority. Because, listen, the devil understands authority. He does. He understands it better, in a lot of cases, better than the church does, unfortunately. He understands authority. And he knows if he can manipulate and get a hold of it, you know, if you abdicate your authority, he'll be glad to take it up and abuse it and misuse it. And he's trying to do it. So you got this double kingdom going. I mean, otherwise, why would we pray? Why would we pray? We're praying over our country. We're praying for the election. We pray for those who are leaders. Why are we praying for them? Because there is this double kingdom that's operating. There's this unseen kingdom behind it. And it's endeavoring to control it. And what God is wanting to do, since the authority originally came from Him, God is wanting His influence to filter down through that authority. And so we're in this, what? Fight. Paul says we wrestle. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Well, how are we going to wrestle? You can't just grab them like you could grab me. If you and I were wrestling around, we can't just grab the devil like you would grab somebody. So what's our ability to wrestle with? Primarily, God's authority. We have authority. We have authority. He said, whatever you bind, how are we going to do that? With God's authority. Whatever you loose, how are we going to do that? With God's authority. Amen. And authority, many times, is released through words. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? They may be written, or they may be oral. But there were, isn't that right? I mean, it's that way in the military. It's that way in the court system, isn't it? They either write something down or the judge says something. You work in the court system. So that's primarily how authority is what is exercised, isn't it? And there can be actions that back that up. But initially, he said, whatever you bind, whatever you lose. So the church, when we pray, we are not just, you know, trying to talk God into something. We are actually authorized here on the earth and in heaven to use the authority delegated to us, okay, and to impose the will of God on this unseen kingdom that is contrary and against the kingdom of God. So these spiritual forces of darkness, they're out there working everywhere. Somebody says, why is our culture like it is? I'm telling you what. We don't have enough salt. You know, salt's a preservative. But we don't have enough salt going out of the shaker. In other words, that authority. And a lot of times we just throw our hands up and say, well, you know, what good does that praying do? What good does preaching the gospel do? What good? It's releasing the authority that's been given us. We got to bind. We got to learn to use this authority that he's given us. 1 John 3:8. You don't have to turn over there. Most of you know that. He said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might what? Destroy the works of the evil one, of the devil. Destroy the works. Destroy is that same word that's found there in Matthew 18. So Jesus came to destroy. He said, now, whatever works what that you bind or destroy will be destroyed. So in other words, what's he telling us? That it's the same power, the same authority, the same government, the same king, and the same kingdom that Jesus was a part of and used when he was here representing God in the flesh, representing the kingdom of heaven. It's the same power and authority that he used, okay, when he was here, when he healed the sick, cast out devils, and set people free. He said, it's that same word. He said, you're authorized now to do that. You're authorized in my name. Amen? Now, you know, I said again, no one of us as a believer has all the authority. If we did, I could just get up and bind every devil in the planet. But you can't do that. I said, you can't do that. I wished you could. I'd be right there urging you on. But here's the thing. The body of Christ as a whole has the authority if we take it up. The body of Christ as a whole has the authority if we take it up. And how do we do that? In each pocket where there's a local body of believers, a local church, what? We take up the authority God's given us. And then on an individual level, here's the thing. In the world where God's placed you, okay, we all have an individual world during the week, don't we? Our job, family, friends, associates, blah, you know, so forth. In that sphere, you have authority. Because God put you there. Remember when people would come to Jesus, the Syrophoenician woman, different people, and Jesus would, you know, and ask them to do something. He said, I'm sent only to the house of Israel. Boy, that's, and you know, and it sounded so hard because we're looking at it, you know, from a different backdrop. We're looking at it from the future where he is the savior of the whole world. So when we look at that backdrop and we see Jesus said, well, no, I can't do it. I'm only sent to Israel. We think, what in the world, Jesus? But we have to understand, as a man, as a prophet, he was only sent to Israel. So he only had authority in Israel. Okay, pause there and let your computer catch up. I'm talking about as a man. Because see, where we're reading, where he says, all authority is now given to me, that's what? That's after the resurrection. I'm talking about before the resurrection. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Where we get in trouble is two sides of the same, you know, it's two ditches. On one side of the ditch is that we just don't believe or don't know that we have any authority. And, you know, and every God, we elevate God's sovereignty to the nth degree. And what that does for me is that I don't have to do anything. I just sit back and I just, you know, and I'm a puppet. And whatever life deals me, whatever the devil wants to do with me, I just say, well, that's God's sovereign will. It's all in his authority. It's all in his power. It's all in God. You know, what a cop out. Well, that makes it easy, doesn't it? I'm just a slug. You know, I'm just a puppet. Well, what do we do with free will? How does free will fit in that? The other extreme is this, is we get understanding a little bit about authority, but then we try to use our authority in places where we're not authorized. You know what we call that, don't you? busybody. In other words, I'm going to come over and tell you about how you ought to do this, that, and the other. Isn't that right? No. But the realm in which we live, in our families, in our homes, on our job, where God has set us, we have what? We have a degree of authority in that realm. And we need to be exercising it. We need to be in prayer and binding and loosing in the name of Jesus. We need to be using that. Listen, instead of fussing about your job, pray for the people and use God's authority. Because you know what that is? Though that's evil spirits. Listen. The people that are over your company, they're the head of that company. You know what we call them, bosses? You know what? They're going to be influenced. They are being influenced by something. Come on. This is Christian. Listen, I'm talking about a Christian worldview here. They're either being influenced by the Holy Spirit or by a demonic spirit. Oh, but well, my boss is not a Christian, but he's a good guy. Well, I'm glad for you on the job, but I'm telling you, there is no middle ground. There's no middle ground. We got to get that settled. And so here's the thing. If God's placed you there, then he's given you authority. Not to run the company. What is he giving you authority? To deal with those evil spirits. Spiritual authority. Your boss has a natural authority, but here's the thing. You start using that spiritual authority, start dealing with those wrong spirits that are influencing that company, that office, that situation. You start using, dealing with them, and all of a sudden you're going to be surprised how wonderful your boss might be. How much better your situation will be. But instead, you know, most Christians, we don't use our authority. We gripe and complain just like the world does. Well, I tell you what, man, it'll be, man, you know. And the devil's just, he's just laughing. Oh, yeah, that's right. Talk some more. And don't forget this. And remember what they said. Remember what they did. And don't forget this. Once you get going, boy, he'll get right in there with you, won't he? So we have to understand. We've been given authority. This is why James talks so much about the power of the tongue. And he likened it to a rudder on a ship. And he said, the rudder, in proportion to the rest of the ship, is small, but it turns the ship. And he said, in the same way, your tongue is that way. And our tongue, through words, is the primary way that we release spiritual authority. And so here's the thing. When we start griping and fussing and complaining, James says it's just like this. He said it's like somebody striking a match. And it seems like a small thing, but the next thing you know, you got one of them big forest fires on your hands. Rather, what we need to be, what? We don't want to light the fire of hell through our griping and complaining, but what we do want to do is release God's ability to move in that situation. You say, well, I just believe if God wants to move, that he will. Well, bless your heart. You just keep on believing that. Because why did Jesus say, go into all the world and preach the gospel? I mean, if God's going to do it all, why have I got to do that? God will just save them. God will just heal them. God will just reveal himself to them. No, he's authorized us to do it. And you know, there was one, someone said it this way, that prayer and using our authority in prayer, okay, is a means whereby God can now be justified, okay, in moving into a situation or a person's life and begin to move. God doesn't just come on people. Are you listening to me? I said, God doesn't just come on people. If he did that, we wouldn't have to preach the gospel. We'd just, God, get them. God don't just, no, there has to be an avenue. They have to hear the gospel. Somebody's praying and interceding. There's some aspect of authority in the kingdom that's being released over and into that person's life. That's giving the Holy Spirit, God's agent, authority and an open door and opportunity to begin to deal with their lives or in that situation. And God says, I'm looking for opportunity. You know, I didn't think a thing about God till somebody started talking to me about him. I didn't think I was a sinner until somebody told me. I thought everybody just did what you wanted to do, and whatever you wanted to do was all right. If you didn't like it, if you can whoop me, okay, but if you can't, I'm going to keep doing it. I mean, you know, people don't understand. We think people somehow innately know. No, there has to be the exercise of authority here. And so as we take this authority he's given to us, he said, notice immediately, as soon as he gave us this authority, he said, go into all the world. And what do? We begin to bind and loose. We begin to bind and loose. Let's look, turn over to Luke real quick, Luke 13. Let's see an example of this, Jesus using this. Luke 13, 16. And here's the thing. You can start using authority right now because it's given to you. Isn't that right? You know, does anybody in here know what a millionaire feels like? Now, you know, and I don't even know if that's a, you know, I'm just trying to use it. I don't even know if there's such a thing as feeling like a millionaire. Okay, I'm just assuming that maybe it is. But think about it this way. If immediately somebody gave you $1 million, I mean, yeah, you'd be happy and everything, but would you really know if you felt like a millionaire or not? You wouldn't have to do anything. But all you had to do is just look at the bank account, right? Would you have any problem spending it, though? Same way with authority, okay? Doesn't matter whether you feel like you're authorized or not. Just look in the book. You've been given authority. Now all you got to do is what? Just act on it. Just use it. Amen. Just open your mouth in prayer. Yep. Speaking the word. Using the name. Notice here in Luke 13, because the thing about it is this. Look, go back to my policeman. You know, policeman can get out here. He can hold up his hand just like this. And he can hold back a whole line of traffic for miles and miles and miles. Just with authority. Never touches one vehicle. Doesn't have, you know, hey, now I'm going to have to stop traffic. Y'all bring about 50 of the biggest cranes you got out here. Because, boy, there's a lot of traffic out here. Y'all better, you know, bring up a couple of them tanks. Because I got to stop some traffic out here. No. Well, he knows what's going to do it. Authority. What stops those? It's not his strength that stops them. It's authority that stops. Isn't that right? Authority stops that line of traffic. It can stop the biggest vehicle on the road just by holding up one hand. Isn't that right? And we have to understand in the spiritual realm, God has authorized us. It's not, oh, do I have 10 million megawatts of faith here? No, can you hold up a hand, so to speak? In Luke 13, 16, notice what he says here. He's talking about, you know, the woman in the synagogue there. He said, then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be loosed on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Be loosed or set free. Same word. Okay? So how was this woman healed? Jesus loosed her. It didn't say, you know, a lightning bolt hit her. No, it said what? He used authority that was given to him. There was a spirit that was binding her, that was afflicting her body. Amen. So what did he do? He just used the authority he had been given. I said he used the authority he'd been given. You say, oh, but yeah, but he was the Son of God. Well, what are you? I know you're not the Son of God, but you are a Son of God. Isn't that right? We're in the family. And Jesus has authorized us. He said, cast out the devil. Didn't he say that? So if he said to do that, that means I've got that much authority. You say, well, what if it's a big devil? Well, he didn't give him in sizes. He just said, if he's there, cast him out. So I got enough authority to deal with any devil that comes along my path. Amen. Isn't that right? Yep. Now, here's the thing. Unless God sends me to a place, then you know what? I'm not going to deal with all the wicked spirits in China. You know why? Because I'm not authorized. Now, if God sends me to China on a mission, guess what? Now I'm authorized. Yep. Are you listening? Yep. Remember when God called, he called Paul, said, I'm going to send you. You know, to the Gentiles. Did you ever notice at the first part of Paul's ministry, he went everywhere but to the Gentiles? He kept trying to go to the Jews and in the synagogues, and man, he got beat up, run out of town, everything. Part of the problem was what? He wasn't authorized to go to, he wasn't sent to the Jews. So everything he tried to do, it just worked against him. But as soon as he started, you know, the light came on, just like with some of us, you know, finally, get enough knots on the head, the light comes on. You go, he started going to the Gentiles. What happened? He started having what? Success, as it were. His message began to be received. The power of God was exercised through his ministry. The authority was there. Why? Because he was authorized to go there. The same is true in you and I. If God's set you in this church, he set you here in Boynton or whatever community you're in, then guess what? There's a degree of authority you have there. Amen. That's the reason we pray here. We pray on Monday nights. We intercede for a number of things, but we intercede over our city. And our, why? Because God's authorized us to do that. Amen. We don't have all the power, but we have some. We've been given some authority. And because God's called us here, you say, well, I was just born here. Well, bless God. If God hadn't called you anywhere else, then you're called here. Isn't that right? Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, you say, he said, I go just as much by what God doesn't say as by what God does say. You know? If he hadn't told you to leave, then he must have told you to stay here. So if he's told you to stay here, then you've got authority. And we've got to begin to use it. And I would encourage you, start right in your home. Good starting place. Run the devil out if he's there in any way. Just run him out. You have authority there. That's your house. You're paying the bills, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Well, there you are. Mm-hmm. Amen. You're wearing the pants at your house, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Amen. You're paying the bill. God's put you. You're in charge.
Yeah.
Just tell the devil, hey, devil, you're not in charge. Too long the devil has told believers he's in charge.
Yeah.
We need to rise up and say, bless God, no, you're not. Jesus said, I'm in charge.
Amen.
I'm under him, and he gave given me authority over you, and he told me in my house, I'm in charge.
Right.
So get. Amen?
Amen?
Start using some of that authority. Use that binding, use that loosing. And here's the thing, we use the name of Jesus, don't we?
Yes.
The name of Jesus. I mean, that's the that is the key in authority, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, you work with the court system. You know, if that judge tells you, issues a order or something, and you have something to do to deliver that or whatever, do that, I mean, you don't go in your own name. But you go, or if a sheriff or an officer of the law has a warrant, okay, that judge has signed that thing. He's going in, and he's not going in his own authority, although he has some authority, but I'm telling you, he's going in a higher authority, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he's exercising what? That authority in the name, what, of the state of Florida, or it may be in the name of that judge that's signed down there that's authorized to sign that thing. And I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter how he feels about it. Doesn't matter how the people he's serving the warrant on feels about it. Doesn't matter where the location is, whether they're rich, they're poor, anything. None of that external stuff matters.
Yep.
It's authority issue,
yep,
isn't it? Same thing with us. You know, and you need to serve some warrants on the devil.
Yes. Amen.
Hey, man, you need to serve notices on him. Yes. Yeah, start with an eviction notice. Hey, man, that's exactly right.
Amen.
Listen. We have to understand, behind poverty, behind lack, behind sickness, behind strife, behind all these things that we look at as natural, are spiritual forces at work.
Amen.
As soon as we start thinking, well, this is just the way it is. This is just the world. This is just life. This is just, you know, that's exactly what the devil wants you to think.
Yep.
And so immediately he has stripped you of any means you have to fight an effective warfare. And you're just like the world. You're just kind of, just have to roll with the punches. I'm just rolling, you know. Listen, stand up. I like, John Osteen used to say this. He said, stand up on your hind legs. You know, stand up on your feet and tell the devil what for.
Amen.
You say, but I don't, it doesn't have anything to do with feeling. Get over that.
Yeah.
We're ruled too much by our emotions in the church anyway. A lot of times we never get into the realm of the spirit. We stay in the realm of our souls and our emotions and our feelings. But see, here's the thing. Authority has to do with the spirit. The Spirit of God gave it to you, and your spirit exercises it.
Amen.
And the way you do that primarily is what? You're going to speak the word. Amen?
Amen?
Speak the word. So here's the thing. Whatever, he said, whatever you loose will be loose. Whatever you bind will be bind. I want to read you. from the Message. Couple of scripture verses here that have to do with authority. I just like the way they read. So Marie, this is from Matthew 12, 28 through 30. Jesus is speaking because, you know, the religious people of his day said, well, you're doing this. You're casting out devils and all right. But you're doing it by the power of the devil. Remember I'm telling that? And so Jesus said this. He said, if you cast, you know, if the devil cast out himself, then his kingdom's divided. He said, but if it's by God's power that I am sending the evil spirits packing, I like that. You need to send some packing.
Yeah.
Then God's kingdom is here for sure. How in the world do you think it's possible in broad daylight to enter the house of an awake, able-bodied man and walk off with his possessions unless you tie him up first? Tie him up, though, and you can clean him out. I like the way that reads, don't you? This is war. And there is no neutral ground. If you're not on my side, you're the enemy. If you're not helping, you're making things worse. Pretty plain, isn't it? But he gives us great insight here, and that is this. Listen, you know, a lot of times we go about it the hard way. We're trying to be very clever and, you know, and kind of sneak into the strong man's house and hope he don't see us. And get away with some little thing we can easily stick in our pocket, you know. No, he said, if you tie up the able-bodied man, then you can take everything he's got. And listen, he's a thief, so guess what? Everything he got belongs to you anyway.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was having chronic problems in an area with my finances, with lack, with poverty, with this, with that, I'm telling you, one of the first things I'd do is I'd get along with God and I'd begin to say, okay, wait a minute, what's behind this thing here?
Yeah.
And get me some insight. And then I'd stand up and start using some authority. Don't pray for, you know, another thing here about authority is you never see in the New Testament anywhere where Jesus or any of the apostles taught us to pray to God to cast out the devil.
That's right.
You can't find one scripture. A lot of things about prayer, but nowhere does he say, pray. Because Paul didn't say over in Ephesians 6, God wrestles with principality. He said, we wrestle, didn't he?
Right, right.
And so here's the thing. You need to stand up and say, bless God, I'm telling you what. I'm putting my foot down. This poverty thing, that's it. This lack thing is it. This strife thing is it. This drug thing is it. Whatever it is it. Because remember, there's always what? There's a spirit behind it that's influencing, that's trying to control and manipulate. And we need to rise up in our authority and take the name of Jesus and do something about it.
Amen.
Start first with our household, and then we move out from there.
Right. Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
Get things in order. Don't, you know, human beings, we're amazing creations. You know, we have learned just about to cope with anything. We're great copers, and Christians are especially great at coping. You know, coping is just a nice way of saying we're going to learn to put up with it. We're going to learn to live with it. You know, I've told you the example many times. You know, when God was bringing the plagues through Moses, remember, on Egypt, and they had, you know, the story with the frogs. I mean, they had frogs everywhere. Frogs in the soup, frogs in the bed. I mean, you get up, you know, to go to the kitchen, you step squishing on frogs. I mean, there's frogs everywhere. I mean, frogs, you know, everywhere. Frogs in your hair, and you wake up in the morning, there's frogs everywhere. And, you know, so he calls Moses, you know the story. He said, Moses, get rid of these frogs. And he said, well, when you want me to get rid of them? Tomorrow. You know, we chuckle about that because why tomorrow? But you know, we Christians are great about putting things off. And we make it sound spiritual. You know, we're great at one of these days, God's going to do something. Isn't that right? But here's the thing. He said, remember we read over that first scripture in Ephesians 3? Remember that? Now,
yeah,
through the church. Now, through the church. Yeah. Now, through the church. Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, authority is always now. Mm-hmm. You can't exercise authority yesterday. You can't exercise authority next week until it gets here. And when it gets here, it's now, isn't it? You know, today was tomorrow, yesterday. Isn't that right? So here's the thing. You got to get into the now and exercise that authority. So, you know, here's the thing. There's no better time than tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You go home. There's some things you need. There's no better time than now. Address it now. Deal with it now.
Yes.
Use your authority now.
Yes.
Now, you're saying, well, tomorrow, one of these days. Come on. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Use the authority. Well, I didn't get as far as I wanted to, but let me read you one more scripture from the Message. Get ready for the offering, guys. Matthew 18 and 19 out of the Message says, take this most seriously. A yes on earth is yes in heaven. A no on earth is no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. Mm-hmm. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. I like the way that reads. Isn't that true? Oh, there's so much here I want to get into, you know. When you begin to act on your authority, then God's power goes into motion. God's angels get busy. A lot of things happen. A lot of things happen. But here's the thing. Even if you don't understand all that, bless God, all you got to do is go. Stop, devil. You know? And every devil is known by its fruit. If it's poverty, it's a poverty devil. Jesus said the woman had a spirit of infirmity. Made her infirm. She was bent over double. Isn't that right? Unclean spirits, all kinds of spirits, they all have a name. And you look at the fruit that they're producing, you got a good idea of their name. And so you use your authority. You do it. You're authorized. I didn't authorize you. Jesus did. Jesus did. Amen?
Amen.
Stop putting up with stuff. Stop coping.
Amen.
And start dealing with it. Amen?
Yes.
You know, big thing, you know, nowadays we talk about people being in denial.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'm telling you what, Christians, big time in denial. Denying yourself your birthright. Denying that, you know, who you are. In denial about who you are and the authority God's given you. Oh, well, I might come across prideful. And all. No, I'm going to tell you what. Pride is this. Pride is saying, I know what God said, but I feel different. That's pride. Isn't that right? Pride would be to resist what God offers you. Isn't that pride? Because then I'm saying, I don't need what you got to offer God. I don't need your authority. I don't need any of this. That would be pride. So don't, you know, the enemy likes to confuse us. And a lot of times he uses religious people to do that. Oh, you be careful with this authority thing. No, you if you don't use it, you better be careful. Because you're setting yourself up to be taken out. Because you can't fight a spiritual warfare with natural things. So if you don't use God's authority, what are you going to use? Yours? If you are, God help you because you're going to need it. Amen? All right, guys, come on forward. If you'd like an envelope, if you'd like to give tonight, we're going to let you give. Give you an opportunity to give if you'd like. And then we're going to pray over and let you go.